God has blessed me with many blessings in my life. One of the greatest blessings that He blesses me with, and that He's blessing me with at this time, is one more opportunity to speak to a fine audience like this. To bring to you the message that He died for back in the first century. You ever wonder to think what a gospel preacher might be thinking about just before he comes into the pulpit when he has to preach? Well, our lesson this morning is the danger of declining Jesus' invitation. And I was thinking there how precious the invitation is, but the real thing that flashed across my mind was all of the thousands of invitations that are going to be offered by Jesus Christ today. Millions of them back through the years. But today, beginning at the international dateline last night and coming around the globe, every hour or so, Jesus standing at the door and knocking again. For God is not willing that any should perish, but that all would come to eternal life. So our lesson today is the blessing of Jesus' invitation, but also I want us to think about and focus on the danger of declining that invitation. For as today, hopefully not in this audience, but as of today, when this invitation is offered thousands of times around the globe, there's going to be some that say, "I accept." But there's going to be many that say, "I decline, not me." How terrible that is. This in spite of the fact that Jesus left heaven and came down to earth to His own people. As in the reading this morning, especially in verse 11, He came unto His own, and His own received Him not. Do you ever think about that? That when God created us, He allows us, as His creation, to say no to God. Isn't that something? And yet we can do that. And when God invites us, even with the great gift of Jesus Christ, man can stand before God in the Spirit and say, "No, not me." Jesus is sad about this. The sadness is shown in Matthew, the 23rd chapter, in verse 37. He was speaking to Israel, but that echoes down through the century to every one of us. When He said, "Oh, Jerusalem," it was on the screen a few minutes ago, "Oh, Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets," the ones that were inviting them to be the children of God or to remain the children of God in spirit as well as flesh, "you have kill them, and then you stone them. And now God, at the last minute of love's last appeal, has sent His Son. And I stand here now to you, my own, as a mother hen would gather her brood under her wings." That's how much God loves you. And that's how I want you to see the invitation of God through me. And you would not. And then the song. In Revelation there, the 3rd chapter in verse 20. "Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If anyone would hear my voice and open the door, I will come in and sup with him." Sometimes when I read those verses and I think back of other verses that are similar, I wonder if the person writing that, like John in this case, had in mind what happened that might made that come to his mind. You know an occasion when that happened? When Jesus knocked on the door in Jericho to Zacchaeus and said, "I'll come in and sup with you." Well, Zacchaeus said, "Come on." And that day Jesus Christ said, "Salvation has come to your house." And that is the importance of the invitation of Jesus. For when we answer that invitation in the positive way, Jesus sups with him, that is the innermost recesses and citadel of his heart, Jesus comes in and sits down and has fellowship. I wondered about that with Zacchaeus, but Zacchaeus was changed. We have assembled here to worship. But as in the case of Zacchaeus, some in this worship, when the invitation is extended, will accept. Perhaps many of you already have. But there are always some that says, I declined. And souls will weigh when the invitation is offered the blessings, and then they will weigh the risk. And some will accept, but the majority will not. That's so sad, but Jesus said that in Matthew 7:13. Enter ye in at the straight gate, he says. For wide is the gate, and broad is the way that leadeth unto destruction. That's the danger of declining. And many there be that go in thereat, but few are going to find the right gate. In my 60 years of preaching, I have found that truth so many times, and I have witnessed both responses so many times. I don't know how many times that I have offered the invitation for Jesus Christ and other gospel preachers too, but I'm talking personally here, back through the years. But I have seen that so true that when the invitation is offered, a few will through the years, but many won't. The danger of declining the invitation I would like to illustrate in two people. Of each, the blessing and the declining. And let them represent all throughout my ministry as the invitation was offered. A few years ago, I had a private study with a fellow by the name of Milton. A young fellow, about 29 years of age, married and had two fine young daughters. His wife was already a member of the church, and she had asked me to study with him, and I did. I studied with him, offered him the invitation at the close, and he accepted. How wonderful. We baptized him that night about midnight. How wonderful. For a few weeks later, I preached that young man's funeral. He worked at a mine there in town, and he touched a high tension wire, and it fried him. But think of what I could say in that funeral. Think of the wonder. But it hadn't happened that way all the time. For I'm thinking of Billy, another young man. He was so mad at me one time that when we were talking about the church and so on, he pulled a knife on me. But Bill and I, after that, and through the efforts of his family, got to be best of friends. We did. Man, he would call me up and ask me questions and everything. And I felt for him. I really did. Shortly later, he worked at a lumber yard that had an open shaft elevator. He got in the elevator to go to work that morning, and someone said, "Hi, Bill." And he stuck his head over the top just as the elevator started, and it cut his head off. I preached his funeral, one with the blessing and one with the danger, the risk of not. I never will forget. In fact, I think I preached a meeting one time with one of the sermons in the meeting entitled, "What His Dad Said to Me When I Got Out of the Car to Preach the Funeral." When I drove up in front of the church building and got out of the car to preach the funeral, Billy's dad came to me, almost trotted up to me with tears in his eyes. He said, "Now, Brother Northern, we all know about Bill." He meant that he hadn't obeyed the gospel. He said, "We all know about Bill. Would you please make it as light as you can in the lesson today?" I said, "Don't you worry about it." But I say that simply to say, while there's a wonderful blessing, there's always the risk and there's always the danger of declining. And when people decline the invitation, I doubt very seriously they think in 3 weeks later they're going to be dead. They're 29 years old that they could be dead. This other fellow, Billy, he was even younger than that. He was about 20 or 22. There is a risk. There is a danger. And I don't know here this morning who needs to respond to Jesus' knock on the heart. But if you do, please don't decline. There is a danger and a risk of declining the invitation of Jesus Christ. You don't want to risk it. Because of all the dangers that exist in the world. Now, you don't like to think about this when the invitation song is singing. But think about it. There is no greater risk and no greater danger in all of the world that you could face at that time than saying no to God. No to Jesus. When God has died in the flesh for you on the cross, with his arms outstretched, saying, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." He came unto his own, and his own received him not. How terrible. We see how sad that was. John wants us to know really how sad that was. In the first few verses there of John that Brother James read this morning, did you notice he said that he came unto his own and his own received him not? How much advantage they'd had. Paul in Romans 3 said, "What advantage hath the Jew?" Yea, I tell you, they had many advantages. They had the law and the prophets, and we had here. They had them for 1,500 years. 1,500 years of God knocking on the door. And finally, "I'll send my son." Love's ultimate last appeal. "I'll send my son." Surely they'll hear him. But they crucified him. But God also did something else, if you notice in verse 6 that he read. In verse 6, he said, "There was a man sent from God whose name was John, who witnessed," who was a witness. So God sent a witness. And this was John the Baptist. And John the Baptist said, "He's the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the world." And when they turned down, they declined the invitation. They declined the witness of the greatest prophet Jesus said had ever lived. A man that's born a woman, that's none greater than John the Baptist. John said, the people said, "He's a prophet." And John said, "He's the Lamb of God. He is the only sacrifice that is acceptable to God for the forgiveness of your sin." They said no. They declined. Did you notice in that passage of scripture we read a few minutes ago in Matthew 23:37 that said, "How oft would I have gathered ye and you would not?" Then there is the risk, the sadness that's associated with the declining of the invitation. The next verse, 38. "Your house is left desolate." You keep on declining the invitation of Jesus Christ, and God abandons you. He gives up on you. Or at least he did then. The house being abandoned simply meant there was the temple, and in the most holy place, God's Spirit was supposed to dwell. But he says, "You have turned down the Son of God in the flesh. You crucified him. God is pulling out on you. When you go to offer your sacrifices, when you go to the temple to pray, just remember this. God is not there." You remember too that when you decline the invitation of God today, or whenever you have, that God is not in the temple if you have not accepted the invitation. Now he invites to be there. He knocks on the door, "Let me in." God forbid, though, you can look God straight in the face and say, "No, not now. Not me. I decline." Well, consider the great danger of neglecting them. Jesus said, I want to make it plain to you. There is the blessing, and he gives the commission. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. Now, in that preaching the gospel to every creature, you offer the invitation. We're going to do that in a few minutes. Come unto me. But here is the way that he put it, and here is the risk. Here is the blessing, and here is the risk. Go preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. There's the blessing. Do you want to follow through on that verse and see the risk? The danger of saying, no, I don't want to do that. No, not me now. He that believeth not shall be condemned. Do you know what that condemnation is and why it's there? Because he says later in another chapter, this is the condemnation, that this people love darkness more than light. Now that's what John's talking about here in the first chapter. In him was life, and life was the light of men. You can't separate the eternal life, the gift of God of eternal life, and the light of the message. The Word, he is the Word, in the beginning was the Word. The Word is the light of God that directs our pathway. And in that light, the Word, Luke 8:11, is the seed of life, or the seed of the kingdom. So in him was life and the light of the world. And you say, no, not now, not me, I decline. You're saying no to the light of God and say, I prefer the darkness. That's what Jesus said, they prefer the darkness rather than the light. And whether you want to accept it or not, you're saying no to eternal life. Now, Jesus attempts to impress us all with declining a Jesus invitation. They rejected the Word and the purpose of God. He says they rejected that power that created the world, that created them, that spoke them, spoke the light into existence, that has the ability of that same creative power to speak the light into your soul, the saving light. And you're going to say no to that? He says again, this is the condemnation, John 3:9, that I have come into the world and men said no to light and yes to darkness. You ever think about when you turn down the invitation of God that that's what you're doing? Now consider this. Jesus is the Lamb of God. If you say no to God and decline that invitation, you're declining the Lamb of God, John the Baptist said. And the writer of Hebrews said, there'll never be another sacrifice for sin. Hebrews 10:26. There remains no more sacrifice for sin. There's no more dangerous thing that you can do than say no to God when he offers you the invitation to be saved, to have eternal life. There's no greater blessing than saying yes. I want to leave you with this thought. I preached out west for several years. And out there, Brother Paul, there's a ranch. And the fence around it is for miles. You drive down the highway. And when you pass the gate that opens, it goes in, there's three big sixes on it. Three big sixes. And it's called the 3-6 Ranch. You know why it's called the 3-6 Ranch? Well, that fella, I guess, is still gloating about it. But he was in a poker game one night with a guy that owned that ranch. And when the hand was dealt, so the story would go, and I have no reason not to believe it, that when it was dealt, this man had two pairs. in his hand. Two high-ranking pairs. But he was out. He didn't have any more money to put in the pot. And he said, well, he thought he was safe. Would you take my ranch for the ante? The fellow looked at him and said, yes. And he laid down his two high-ranking pair. And as everybody, if you know anything about poker, three of a kind beats two pair. The man laid down three sixes. He lost his farm. Lost his farm for three sixes. The man then named his ranch Three Sixes and put it on his gate. I said all of that to say this. It's too risky. Don't bet the farm on your soul. Don't gamble with your soul. There's an old saying, was it Kenny Rogers that made the song famous? You got to know when to hold 'em. You got to know when to fold 'em. Well, when Jesus offers the invitation, you better know when to fold 'em. If you're here and need to respond to the invitation, Jesus is knocking on your door. If you're here of all people and a member of the church, the Lord's body, like they were Jews and he came to his own received him not. The invitation is to anybody in the church today and knocking on your door. If you have brought reproach to the church, if you sin publicly, the invitation is to you. Know when to fold them. And we hope you will while we stand and sing.